is. And I'm sure the Lord wants every one of us to know there's more. There's more. He'd like to speak those two words into your life. No matter what your experience with the Lord is, and where you've come from, Jesus says to all of us, there's more. Maybe he would say there's much more. Praise God. So come. Come and drink. Drink of the water of life freely. Drink to your full. This well never runs dry. Hallelujah. There's more for you. Praise God. You ever said, there's got to be more than this? As we've heard tonight, these very honest testimonies, I came to a place in my life where there had to be more to my Christianity. More to serving the Lord than going through the motions, telling other people about Jesus, as wonderful as all those things are. But it didn't satisfy my soul. I was empty on the inside. And then Jesus said, there's more. Come. Come to the fountain. There's fullness in Jesus. All that you're longing for, come and be blessed. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, when the Lord says there's more, then we ought to say, Lord, then I want that more. I want to know you in that way. Jesus, I'm not satisfied as I am. But Lord, I want to know you better.
Yes.
Praise God. Would you pray that tonight and really mean it? Oh, God, I want to know you. Hallelujah. The best prayer you can pray. Praise God. Oh, let's just hold for a moment in his presence. Hallelujah. Let God speak to you. I can tell you there's more. And that might interest you, but when Jesus says there's more, it speaks it into your heart. That'll change you. Hallelujah. So we want him to say, speak his word to us. Oh, Jesus. More to life than what you're living for. God created you for himself. He put you in this world that you might find him. And that you might know him. That you might live for his glory. And then he says, Father, where I am, I pray that they shall be also. That they shall behold my glory. The glory that you gave me before the world was. Oh, God, one day is going to unite us to Jesus in such a way, and we're going to be together in the presence of God forever. And then that's just the beginning. Just the beginning of a life lost in God. Praise God. Oh, deal with God tonight. Tell him. I want you. Say it in your own words, best you can. It's just a verse that comes to mind. I'm going to read that verse. I won't say much about it. I thought about it before the meeting. It's in Jeremiah chapter 9. Maybe you're familiar with this particular chapter. The 23rd verse. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. That's interesting. That's exactly what people glory in. The NIV says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Don't take pride in your wisdom as though that's what life is all about, and that's the answer. The wisdom that I have attained to. The world is full of wisdom. The world is full of philosophies and so on. But the Bible tells us that man, through all of his wisdom, was not able to find God. We read that in Corinthians. Praise God. The wisdom of God is wiser than that of man. Man, in all of his searching, and all of his figuring out what life is all about, and all through all of his philosophies, didn't bring them one step closer to really finding God. All of his religions, there's so many religions in the world, Which religion is the right religion? It's the one that brings you to God. That's got to be the right religion. It's the one that causes you to really come into a relationship with God and really know God in that all-satisfying way. But when we say that it really isn't a religion, it's Jesus. And it's knowing Him. Praise God. When Jesus came into the world was full of religion. They didn't need another one. God knew that we'd never find God through all of our religion. My wife said something to me that was interesting. I don't know if I mentioned it here. But she said, you know, Kenny, if I didn't really know Jesus, I would have no interest in going to church or religion at all. He would have no interest in my life at all. Some people, they go to church. They like that. They like to dress up. Some people like the ceremonies. They like the rituals. Give them a good feeling, make them feel holy, or something like that. He said, that would bore the life out of me. if I didn't find God there, none of that would interest me. And so the world, in all of its wisdom, with all of its religion, they had nothing to boast of because they couldn't find God. They didn't really find the answers to life, purpose for living. And then he goes on and says, and let not the mighty man glory in his might, or boasting of his strength. And then, let not the rich man boast of his riches. Praise God. That strength might not just speak of physical strength. But you know what people say, as long as you have your health, that's all you need. How you doing? Well, I got my health. That's all that's important. You know what? That's not all that's important. We found that out. Having your health is not the most important thing in life. Being strong and able, not really the most important thing in life. People spend all their money on health food and exercise, and they join the gym, and then they join another gym, and then they run 5 miles, and then they run 10 miles, and then after running 20 miles, they fall down and have a heart attack. Well, that's nothing to laugh about. But, you know, sometimes we can work so hard in making ourselves healthy that it can kill you. Well, I'm not against health food and all those things. My friend Bowie Curry, he was into health food, and he got me to eat things that I don't even know the names of. He introduced me to quiches. He was a good cook. When I lived down in Virginia with him, I used to write the gardeners, and I'd say, Bowie, we're getting along just fine. He's smothering me with quiches every day. And sprouts. But he told me about a friend who was so careful about not eating any sugar, and one day he somehow tasted some refined sugar by mistake and had a violent reaction. And I thought, boy, I don't want to be that healthy. I'm going to have a violent reaction to some spoonful of sugar. That's supposed to help the medicine go down, isn't it? Anyway, but we put such an emphasis on our physical being, on our strength, our health, as though that's everything. And we try to excel along those lines. The Olympics are coming up, and I like to watch the Olympics every once in a while. I was watching some of the tryouts for the Olympics. I couldn't even make the tryouts. And these people dove off a diving board, and they spun around unbelievable. You know, 3 times and 2 flips and a half turn. I could do that once falling down the stairs, but I wasn't able to do it again. They could do it again. So anyway. But there's other strength, right? There's positions of authority that people glory in. I'm the president of this, and I've worked so hard to get here and to earn this respect. And they pursue certain goals in their life, and they make every sacrifice to achieve to that goal, attain to that goal. And when they get there, they find out it's empty. It's not what they thought it was. Praise God. Don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let the strong man glory in his strength. And don't let the rich man glory in his riches. We understand what that's all about. I don't think there's any one of us that wouldn't mind a few extra dollars in our pocket. I don't know. Maybe you wouldn't. We could at least bless the kingdom of God with it. We just put a new air conditioner in our church, and we don't usually ask for money, but sometimes it's right to let the people in the congregation know that there are some needs, and we'd just want to give you opportunity, if the Lord leads you to be part of blessing the church and helping with these needs. And so I said that morning, if anybody has an extra $20,000 in their pocket, you can give it to me at the door. I'd be happy to relieve you of that burden. I got $6 from a lady after meeting. So the widow's mite. But then the next morning, someone stopped by and gave us $1,000. And I suppose they could afford that or were willing to make that sacrifice. And I had to laugh about that. Somebody, the usher told me, we got an offering this morning for the air conditioner. $6. Well, anyway, the world runs on money a little bit, and so the Lord knows how much we need and when we need it, and He provides so wonderfully for us. But our hearts, that doesn't interest us really. We read the other day, I see thy poverty, but thou art rich. There are riches that Jesus gives us. I always tell my children we're rich. We're really rich. We live in a little apartment. It's all that we need right now. And the Lord has provided so much for us. Everything we need has been provided wonderfully. It's been so good to us. And so I tell them that we're rich. And they say, Dad, I know that we're rich, but do we have enough money to buy this? No, we don't, but we're rich. They're catching on to that. Praise God. But you know, people, they spend all their life. They find all their security in their riches. How much is enough? More, just a little more. I think they asked that to Rockefeller. How much is enough? Just a little bit more. And then I'll be happy. But a little more is never enough. And riches, material possessions, somehow we're led to believe that's what brings satisfaction and fulfillment in life, and that's what life is all about. We admire people that are hard workers, if they're a workaholic and they work 23 hours a day, we say, wow, that's amazing. These people are something. And yet we think of how they sacrifice their family and everything for those riches. And they work so hard to pass on to their children the things that they never were able to have as a child. Sister Marianne Walthall, She went to be with the Lord last year. Missed her very dear sister. She said that she told me the story of her growing up, and we made a Christmas play out of it, as a matter of fact, because her father was taken away as a prisoner of war, and he returned on Christmas, or Christmas Eve. So they made for a good Christmas play, and so she was in the play, she was the narrator, and we had others of the family that acted out the parts, and really was a beautiful story. Somebody sent it to Unshackled, you know, that radio program, Unshackled, and they worked with it, and they played it as well. I remember one Monday night, we all sat in church and turned on the radio, and we listened to the story of the Fleming family on Unshackled. They probably played that around Christmas. You would enjoy that, I'm sure. And somewhere in that story, she said something like this, that when we look around us and see parents that work so hard and spend all their time trying to provide for their children and give to their children the things that they never had growing up. She said, my parents were very careful to be sure they passed on to us the things that they did have. Their faith in God. Their love for the kingdom of God. They made sure that they passed that on to us. They weren't so concerned that we had all the material things that they never had, but they wanted to make sure that we had the true riches that were in Christ. And so you said, don't glory in your wisdom, don't glory in your strength, Don't glory in your riches, but he that glorieth. Here's something to really rejoice in and to glory in. He that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Praise God. We can know him. We can understand and know him. And we can enter into his loving kindness, his judgment, and be partakers of his righteousness. And if we know him, and we know him in that way, then we're rich. And we know, we found the secret. We know what life is all about. And if anyone has something to boast of, we do. The Apostle Paul, he said, I boast, I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I am crucified to the world. The world has nothing to offer me. I'm not attracted to it. I'm no good to the world, and the world is no good to me. I'm totally sold out to God. Knowing him is the passion of my heart. It's all that I live for. And if I have him, I have everything. Take the world, you sang before, but give me Jesus. You can have everything the world has to offer, but if you don't have Jesus, you're empty. But if you have Jesus, if nothing else, you have everything. Jesus is more than enough. Praise God. You believe that? You believe it over here? 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 I'm sure you do. That's why we're here. Here, 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 that's why we're here. Because we believe that Jesus is the most precious, precious gift that we could ever receive. Hallelujah. Let's receive him today in greater form.